Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. Streaming live on the Free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. We're going to talk to Mark Ein, Commander's minority owner, coming up at 9:40. He's the chairman of the Mubadala City DC Open. They've got seven top 10 stars competing this summer in the DC Open. So we'll talk to him about that.
Do you have the list or no? The list of the
some of the names
players?
Include Ben Shelton, all right, Gail Monfils.
Yeah, he's always interesting, fun.
Sophia Kennan.
I'm not familiar with her.
Amanda Anisimova.
Jason knows the chicks.
Flavio Cabali. Yeah, I don't know all the names.
There's some big names.
Taylor Fritz.
Yeah, that's when a huge
is
name.
When is it again? When is the event, JP?
It's coming up late August.
I think it's...
It's always when it's butt hot.
Is it late August?
No, it's July.
July.
July 19th through the 27th.
Yep, there you go.
So it's right around the corner.
All right, that makes sense.
So we'll have Mark on.
By the way, Valdez, did you play Billy Joel at 8 o'clock?
Yes.
Just in homage to Feinstein?
He does that every Friday.
You've been doing that since the whole time? Okay.
Yeah. I didn't I'll know. Be
that's
honest.
That's a kinda, nice trend.
It kind of
I don't have my headphones on, so I don't listen. I don't
kinda
hear.
It kind of bummed me out this time.
It did?
I think the first couple times, I felt like it was like, I felt good about it. Like, we're honoring him. And now, it, like, just it's my own personal feeling, like,
no,
I'm starting
like
to feel kind of bummed out.
So we're going
to
just do that forever? Until, you know.
Maybe not forever, but.
For the time being?
Yeah.
I like it.
Listeners like it.
I actually really like it. My wife just noticed it. And, you know, like I say, I never have my headphones on, so I don't hear what you're playing.
Yeah. I mean, Friday's at 8 o'clock.
That's
it's a special
nice,
time
that's
for a lot
nice
of people.
Tribute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Made me feel sad. Isn't that one of the clips that Cakes would play from True Detective?
Yep. All right, well, I'm going to pick you up. Let me tell you what's going on in the world of Hollywood and entertainment. Of course, the entertainment page is brought to you by BMW of Fairfax, DC's only BMW Center of Excellence Award winner for the ultimate buying experience on your ultimate driving machine. Get over to BMW Fairfax. Ask for Miriam. She's the general manager. She'll set you up. Of course, you check out their entire selection of vehicles at BMWFairfax.com. Get over there. Mention me. You will not regret it. All right, so a lot going on here. First, let's go to Liver King. Liver King was released. I think he's wearing an ankle bracelet. He posted a $20,000 bond. He has, I think, a 200-foot restraining order where he can't get within 200 feet of Joe Rogan and his family and their house or whatever. And he's going to have to undergo a mental health evaluation within a week. No, he has to stay at least 200 yards from Rogan and his family. I think he's still putting out wacky videos, though. It looks like he's still lost his mind, right? He's still
dude,
on something.
Dude, he's putting out like 15 videos a day.
Yeah, and he's like crawling around.
Yes.
Like, what's the deal? He's lost it.
He might be having a psychotic episode.
He's having a psychotic episode, right?
I mean, he
right?
looks like he's straight out of the mountains.
Yeah.
He looks like he lives in the mountains.
Meanwhile, Jason, I think, I'm not sure, but I think he's worth like $100 million. Or something.
I know. That's
like,
what
I think
you
he's
said.
Worth a boatload. And I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, some people are saying it's like a drug fueled orgy that he's a part of right now. Or he's, and others just think he lost his mind.
Yeah, he's definitely looks like he's going through some sort of psychotic episode. They asked Rogan about it. And, you know, if he knew anything about it, he said he's never met the guy, but he does consider it threatening. So they did arrest him. But like I say, he's still putting out crazy videos. He's supposed to undergo a mental evaluation within a week. So keep an eye on that. There's a trend of these celebrity homes getting ransacked, broken into. Add Brad Pitt to the list. It's pretty simple. These guys look at the news. They see that Brad Pitt's promoting a movie.
And he is out of the country.
Boom. 10:30 p.m. Now, what's crazy is, like, when that stalker hit Jennifer Aniston's home, a lot of these people have security.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They have 24-hour security. I don't know if Pitt did, but they broke a front window. They got in to the house. There was three of them. They climbed a fence, and they stole a bunch of stuff.
Hmm.
So they say they ransacked the home and took an unknown amount of miscellaneous property.
It was definitely his home?
Yep.
Because the police, it says here in the story, the police did not confirm the home belonged to Pitt, but the address does match something he bought. So I assume it was his.
I don't know.
But there was no one there?
Police or investigator reported a burglary at F1 actor Brad Pitt's home. Yeah. Two law enforcement sources said Pitt was not there. I believe he's out promoting the movie, right?
Yeah, he was in England, I believe.
And this is just happening more often. Did you see there is a Netflix doc about these young people that were breaking into all the celebrity homes?
The old school Bling Ring?
Yeah. That was actually kind of interesting. Crazy, but interesting. All right, how many of you guys watch Squid Games? Drabby, did you watch Squid Games? Did you watch it?
I watched season one. I never did not. Cared season about two? Season
one. So I guess one now season two. Three has just been released. Is that right? On Netflix?
I knew it was coming out soon. I know they released a trailer for it not too long ago.
And I don't know. I guess part of the drama of season two was kind of the guy that's in charge of the whole thing.
Went back into the game to try and destroy the game from the inside.
That's what the plot for season two is, or season three?
Season two.
And then, but was there something like where it ended when he was lying on the ground grieving the death of his closest friend at the end of the series?
Yeah, at the end of season two, there was a cliffhanger.
Right. So now I guess they see how this guy, Ji-hun, returns to the game and faces the challenges ahead.
Right. They tried season two. They tried like an uprising from the inside from all the participants. And at the end of season two, it left you wondering what happens.
Right. So
their fate.
I guess with the way Netflix is, I guess it maybe has just been released, I guess. So if you're a big Squid Game guy.
It came out at 3 a.m. today.
3 a.m. today, yeah. So if you're a big Squid Game guy, you could go out there and you can watch that all weekend.
I saw the number one show on Netflix this year remains Adolescence, which is a four-part series. I started to watch it, and then I just never picked back up on it. I think Cakes watched it, which is about a kid who's potentially accused of killing somebody else that's like 10 or 11 years old.
I don't know if this was news that came out yesterday but just recently, but I believe they've announced that there's going to be Top Gun Maverick 2, right? Or 3. I mean, it's a third Top Gun.
Yeah.
But they're going to have a third.
They're exploring a Top Gun 3.
Yeah. And they say there's still more story to be told.
It's supposedly they're thinking about digging into Maverick's relationships and past and everything.
And Maverick is?
It's Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Right. I saw this is sad news. There's been a death from one of the cast members of Dukes of Hazzard. You guys care to guess who donked off? It's not Daisy Dukes. Daisy Duke, still
alive. The
only
ones I can think of are Daisy Duke and John Schneider.
John Schneider, still with us.
What was the other one?
Tom Wopat.
Yeah.
He's still with us.
I don't know. Boss Hogg died.
I think Boss Hogg died a while ago.
Oh, yeah. He's had to.
Oh, there was Cletus?
Cletus. Okay. Richard Hurst. Cletus Hogg. He passed away unexpectedly, according to his wife. He was 79.
I wasn't a Dukes of Hazzard guy.
You weren't?
No.
Dude, I watched that every Friday. I
know. It's Friday nights. I think my brother liked it. I don't know what competed against it, but I think I liked the other show
better.
I feel
like it was Dukes of Hazzard and then like Dallas or something.
Yeah, I think so.
It was something
like
that.
Dukes of Hazzard was on. Was it at 9?
And then 8 Dallas or 9, was 10? And Dallas was on at 10.
Yeah.
There might have been another
Maybe
one.
I liked Fantasy Island.
No, dude, I was a huge Dukes of Hazzard guy.
Rick Hurst.
He played Deputy Cletus Hogg on Dukes of Hazzard.
Hey, he's a Temple guy.
He is?
Yeah, went to Temple.
I believe Cooter is still with us. I think Cooter still was. Bo and Luke are still with us. And Catherine Bach, Daisy Duke, is still with us.
Man, so, how old is she? She's probably in her late 70s,
too. They every once in a while, they have pictures of her, like in Hollywood, like going to Ralph's or something.
Yeah.
And you can't believe that that's
71.
That's Catherine Bach.
Yeah.
They have, I guess, some still images, maybe even some video of Orlando Bloom, newly single. Orlando Bloom cozying up to a mystery woman at Jeff Bezos, Lauren Sanchez's pre-wedding party in Venice. The party that'll never stop. Apparently, they actually got married, like, officially, like, a month ago.
It's a three-day festival.
I thought it was, like, a week.
Oh, I think it was 3 days.
3 days?
That's reportedly between $46 and $56 million total.
Jeez.
Unbelievable. They say one of her gowns...
That's nothing. That's like a penny
to which I guess is nothing relative to everything else, was, like, one of her pre-wedding gowns was, like, a $100,000 gown that she was wearing. Which, I mean, can you even imagine?
Hey, did you see the pictures of Orlando Bloom's chick?
No.
I mean, I just saw like a silhouette.
Assuming she's
almost.
Very attractive.
I knew he was going to be a hot commodity at this wedding.
Yeah. Well, they said this was his coming out party. I don't know why.
It's great timing by him.
I don't know why he picked such a public
It's just a hookup. He got caught like hooking up with a bridesmaid. That old school thing.
That's so cliche. Classic. It's a classic.
The headline said, get a bloom.
Get a bloom, get a room, get a bloom.
He's just late night making out with
He's making out with some smoke on a car.
Do you think Katy Perry is secretly jealous? They say
they
say that they've been broken up for months.
Still, it doesn't matter.
I mean, they're probably sick of each other.
She'll probably be jealous. Yeah, but she doesn't want to see it.
Yeah, next week we're going to see Katy Perry in like a 4th of July red, white, and blue bikini making out with some boy toy.
Is she gonna start posting thirst trap pics now?
Of course.
Is that the move?
Yes.
All right.
Be on the lookout for those jugs.
By the way, we haven't seen any like crazy Britney videos lately. What's going on with
Britney? She's been quiet.
Is she dancing with the knives and everything and the bikini? What happened to all the crazy Britney videos? There's no way she's like calmed down. It's not possible. And Valdez, you're going to have to hit me to what's going on here between with Bill Belichick and his girls, his ex, Linda Holiday, and Jordan Hudson. They're allegedly trashing each other on Instagram.
Yeah, they're beefing online.
Why?
I think Jordan found like an old letter that Bill wrote to her.
Ooh.
Now it's an old letter, but like or an old email, and she feels threatened, so she's standing up for a man and trashing her.
Now, is it a letter that he wrote or she wrote? This says a real raw emotions from Holiday.
Yeah, she wrote.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it's an email.
Yeah,
that she found.
She's got to protect the golden goose.
And last but not least, I still want to see Mission Impossible. I'm just gonna wait until like it hits. Like,
you've been talking about that.
I'm not gonna go to the theater. I'm gonna wait till it hits like a real thing like Netflix or something, not Valdez's scam where you got like some Russian guy standing up in the middle of it.
So, but it's still out.
Shaky camera and everything. Yeah, it's still out.
It's been out for about a month?
This famous, I don't know what you would call this.
Theme song
for Mission Impossible. The composer passed away. Lalo Schifrin died at the age of 93. And this is this got to be his masterpiece, right?
Got to be up there.
Lalo.
Valdez, how long do they wait before they play this in the movie? Did you like 10, 15 minutes?
This one is probably
The opener.
No.
Wouldn't it be the
usually
opener?
They wait.
No. It's almost like 30 minutes.
They wait.
They play a very long opening scene.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So it's like it's like 15 minutes or something
that. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they hit it. They're like, all right, here we go. Here we go.
So the Dukes of Hazzard.
Is this one of the five most iconic movie theme songs?
It's up there.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably not. But it's up there.
It's got to be.
Well, what are the others? Okay, this sounds dumb. What's the Star Wars theme song? You're going to make fun of me.
He's going to play it.
You're going to make fun of me.
No, you've heard it a billion times.
Okay, then I'll just. I don't just know play. By when you say it. Play the Star Wars. Okay. Yeah. All right. That's got to be number one.
Yeah.
That's probably number one. You're gonna have Indiana Jones, Superman, are all
Titanic?
Up there.
Jurassic Park is
Jurassic
a big one.
Jurassic Park is up there.
Oh yeah, Superman.
Play Jurassic Park. Yeah. Hold on, we just gotta do a minute here. We gotta go through all the
nothing
iconic
but time.
Theme songs.
No, Superman too. You gotta play that one.
All right, hold on.
Eric, what's the name of the composer that did all those? Jurassic Park, Superman, Star Wars. Any chance you pull that?
Is it J.W.?
Yes.
What's his first name?
Is that John Williams, I believe?
Hot Plate?
I don't think I would get it.
Yeah, Hot Plate did it.
I don't think I would get it. All right, hold on. This is Jurassic Park.
It's not as big as Star Wars.
Star Wars trounces it.
I mean, Rocky's pretty big.
Oh, yeah, Rocky. I forgot about Rocky.
Do you think Titanic is up there or no? One of the highest grossing films of all time?
They're all, I don't know that anybody's ever ranked them.
Who did this one? This is John Williams. Did this one? Is he dead?
No, I think he's still composing.
He is?
Yeah.
Are we missing any other biggies? He'll play Superman. Come on. Right, commercial. Who cares?
By the way, I figured out what I was watching or fighting with my brother when he wanted to watch Dukes of Hazzard. I was a sitcom guy. I wanted to watch Benson.
Oh, okay.
Remember that?
You're not complaining?
Oh, we got a break. We got a pretty big guest coming up.
We're forgetting. Jaws. What? Did we say Jaws?
Oh, yeah. Jaws.
I mentioned it quickly.
Oh, is that just that's number one.
Well, hold on. Isn't that
I think Jaws is number one.
How about Psycho? There's a million.
Psycho's
a good one. Is that considered a theme song just when you go, dun it?
Soundtrack. I think so.
That's soundtrack. Like a soundtrack. All right. Can we play some more when we come back? Why?
Well, we'll come back with the Superman theme.
And then we'll have Mark Ine at 9:40. Don't go anywhere.
Iconic.
I mean, yeah. I think we've hit them. I don't think we missed any of them.
Find probably 50
that you think are iconic.
I thought about it. Hoop Dreams, EB.
I don't know their...
You love Hoop Dreams.
I know, but I don't know their theme song.
The song that goes, Hoop Dreams.
I just can't remember.
What about the James Bond theme?
Oh, yeah. That's got to be up there. I'm looking up top five all-time movie theme songs. Just real quick.
Yeah.
Titanic, they had number one. Well, this is maybe different. Maybe its soundtrack is... I don't know. What's the Titanic, they say Men in Black. I don't even know... The Sweetest Thing from the Love Jones. Do you know what that is? Love Jones?
I'll have to hear it.
No.
I think we nailed most of them. We got most of the top 10.
Gladiator? Gladiators? Does that one jump out at you?
Yes, that's very good.
But EB, you started with the whole talk about Mission Impossible, and I have a list from whatnerd.com, and it was number two. So you were kind of all over it. Yeah. And we've already played a bunch of the other ones. Star Wars was number one. Mission Impossible was two. Indiana Jones was three. Back to the Future was four. Superman was five.
Right.
It was James Bond six. Harry Potter, which you're not a Harry Potter guy.
Nope. Wouldn't know it.
Jurassic Park. I mean, it's a lot of the same ones we talked about. Jaws. Godfather. Slept on Godfather.
Oh, yeah.
Couple things.
Batman.
I got a tweet from someone, I think we both did, JP, you may have seen it too, where a guy says, you guys are the best. It's a nice tweet from him. He goes, I listen to you all while driving Lyft every day, and I just had to explain to this elderly lady that you all are a sports show and not just perverts with a poop and naked old people fetish.
I hadn't seen that tweet.
Yeah. So, thanks to our Lyft driver out there, Mr. Postman. And then, you know, we just completed the 2025 NBA draft, and our guy Jonathan Givney, he's on ESPN, right? He does NBA Draft Express.
Yeah,
he's put out already full 2026 NBA mock draft, and I guess the Wiz aren't expected to be that much better.
They're
he's got the Wiz
one?
Picking one,
right. And who are we taking?
We're taking Derek Peterson from Kansas.
I was gonna say Boozer's kid,
Cam Boozer. He has going three to Brooklyn. He has the Jazz still struggling. They take some guy from BYU. So I guess
they're going to be
a lean year. For all you guys voting for the Wizards to be, you know, have a better, quicker rebuild, I'm sticking with my Nats.
I believe in the Wizards rebuild. I believe that it'll be successful.
It might be successful in 5 years. We're a long ways away. I mean, he's got the pick and one.
The Nationals have had a winning season since they won the World Series. It's ancient history now. So,
right.
But, I don't know when you want to claim that they started their rebuild.
They're going to win more games than they did this year.
Who?
I mean, that's not
than
a stretch.
They did
who?
This year?
Yeah. The Wiz?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe by a couple. Doesn't seem like by very much.
I'm not saying.
I mean, if they're going to be the number one pick.
Well, that's his opinion.
I mean, he's looked at the roster. He knows the league pretty well.
Yeah, I know.
He's got a good idea who's going to be good.
I think it kind of depends on how much they're going to play these vets versus the young guys. And I expect them to play the young guys a lot. But And maybe they trade McCollum and, yeah, and Middleton and guys like that. But I think they'll be better. Not much better, but they'll be better.
Hey, so EB mentioned Awad yesterday, the day before, because he had posted a picture of getting injured. But this just made me chuckle. Our guy Jabby did a retweet, and it's something that I didn't pay attention to, but he just wrote home base, that Awad described it as home base, not home plate. It just made me chuckle that in his whole description, he was safe at home base.
Are they still happy with him in Richmond? Do they still, I mean, he's got great work ethic, but is that a whole experiment coming to an end, or is that look like
he's there to stay? I
think. You think he's got a big career?
Gonna be Richmond. Been doing it for a couple years.
Yeah, I know. Drabby.
I think you got to stop underestimating him.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, he's doing great.
He's doing great, other than he looks terrible. His body's going to hell.
Yeah. I mean, he's living the good life.
Yeah.
Fat and happy.
Right.
Fat and happy is a thing for sure.
Hey, did you see this guy that was driving on the mall?
No.
I did, doing donuts.
Yeah.
You're kidding. He was here?
Yeah, he was driving on the mall. I don't know what day this was.
How do you
was.
Even do that? Don't they have everything? Is everything like fenced off still?
No, he was able to get on there, and he's doing donuts, and people are scrambling around, running away from him.
They think he's like a terrorist, but he was just a loon.
He's just an idiot. Yeah.
So how do they stop him?
They arrested him. They got him. But what an idiot.
I can't even believe you could get out there. You can actually get your car
he's
on
right in
the
front
mall.
Of the, right in front of the Capitol.
You get
he's driving
you,
all over
you
the mall.
Just do donuts.
That's what he was doing.
How long did he do it before?
Just a couple minutes, it looks like.
Right.
But he was arrested. Curtis Lear. What a moron. Right. He said, I was just joking around. You think that's a joke? You think you're not going to get arrested for that? Anyway.
Hey, there's a picture that
some
got
crazy
some
people out there.
Commanders fans fired up.
All right.
It's Luke McCaffrey with his brother, Christian, and he's looking kind of jacked. Now, I'll tell you what, Christian looks really jacked. Have you seen the picture?
No, I'm going to look at it right now.
He's always been like that.
Hold on.
Luke, if he walks by you, he doesn't appear to be like the biggest dude.
Right.
But. And you know what? His dad, who played in the pros as a receiver, wasn't the biggest guy.
Yeah, they were taller and thinner.
I mean, McCaffrey's listed at 6'2", 200 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But he's definitely shredded.
That's him with Bijan. He's got good guns. I mean, Christian looks thicker. You can tell he's a little narrower. Yeah. Luke is a little narrower.
I mean, between RBs.
And a little taller.
Bijan hasn't missed leg day.
No. Bijan's legs are a joke. Dude, I'm telling you, Luke McCaffrey is he's like an X factor this year for the guys.
You remember at one point in the season, they said, like some of these analytics sites said, that his separation was greater than everybody, but he wasn't getting balls.
I think he's one of those guys that they were saying was constantly like finding himself getting open.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know?
And JD just wasn't throwing it to him?
Well, you know, I mean...
You're probably going to look at Terry first.
He certainly wasn't the top target.
That actually happened a lot with Rashad Bateman. For years, he had the same type of thing where he had this huge separation. He's one of the best in the league. Mm-hmm. And then it finally took him his fourth year in the league to really put up substantial numbers.
I mean,
it was the same exact thing where the separation rate was astronomical.
I mean, think about it. He's only been playing receiver for a couple years. Yep. He was, a fourth-round draft pick? They're not going to have a ton of, confidence.
Third-round pick.
Third-round pick. They're not going to have a ton of confidence thrown to him right off the bat. He's got to establish himself.
Mm-hmm.
But the Debo acquisition and the kid from Virginia Tech taking away some of his reps, he's in a weird spot.
It's kind of a big year.
He's in a weird spot. He kind of is in a, you know, and I do think he can be very helpful.
Yeah.
But he's in a weird spot for sure.
He
only had 18 catches last year. So
I would think he would need at least 30 plus this year.
I would agree.
30 plus or more to consider it like, okay, he's heading in the right direction. He doesn't need to have 50, 60, but he needs to probably hit the 30 it to have a meaningful impact on this team.
Speaking of the Commanders, coming up next, we'll have one of their minority owners, Mark Einel, join us to talk about the Mubadala City DC Open, which is coming up here in a couple weeks. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. If you missed any part of the show, we have the Wizards GM, Will Dawkins, on earlier. Of course, you can grab the podcast wherever you download your podcast. Just search Sports Junkies. All right, join us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude's most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. He's minority owner of the Commanders, and he's the chairman of the Mubadala City DC Open. It's our pal Mark Ein. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, guys. Great to be with you this morning.
Dude, yeah. Your field just keeps getting better here for the DC Open coming up here in late July. Tell us about all the top players. I think you got 7 top 10 players, but if you expand it to like the world's top 14, you just had a slew of them.
Yeah, it's unreal. We're so thrilled about this. As you said, we got 7 of the world's top 10. We have the top 9 American men. Wow. And then that doesn't even include like Grand Slam champions like Naomi Osaka and Emma Raducanu, who are coming, and then people like Nick Kyrgios and Gael Monfils and Kei Nishikori. So, like, the players that That's everyone amazing. Loves to come out and see. Yeah, it's
I thought
unreal.
Kyrgios was done. I'm just way behind the curve.
I literally was messaging him yesterday about coming to D.C. He loves this tournament. I mean, he played a bit earlier this year. I saw him play in Indian Wells. He was great. He just keeps getting injured. He's got a lot of things that, you know, he's interested in. He's actually building his life outside of tennis. But when he's on the court, he's still unbelievable. And, you know, he's won our tournament twice. So so it's a place that he just loves to come to. And he's fully planning to be here.
What's the payout for the winner of the men's side?
$550,000, I think.
Okay.
Not bad.
It's good money.
Yeah.
It's good money, and it's a lot of ranking points. You know, this tournament on both sides, like, there's a long history of players who come here and it kind of, like, Medvedev in 19 made a finals. Like, no one even had heard of him when he finaled and lost to Nick in 19. And he went on to final the U.S. Open that year and ultimately became number one in the world. Paula Badosa last year, we gave her a wild card. She was, like, 70 in the world, and then she's now back up in the top 10. So it's a lot of points. It's a lot of money, and it's a good springboard for people.
Has Djokovic ever played in it?
You know, it's funny. I see him around. I don't know that he is. Roger actually did once when he was really young, and obviously Rafa came. I don't know. Novak, every time I see him, he says, I'm going to come to Washington one of these days. Right. It'd be great if we could make that happen.
I have to tell you, Mark, that I think most of us here on this show, we all kind of grew up playing tennis. And, you know, I know I've told you before that some of us, I know Cakes and I, we were like ball boys. I don't even know if you probably did that at one point.
I was.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah. It was such a great, I have just such fond memories of tennis, professional tennis here in D.C. And just like,
didn't you get yelled at by some player?
Yeah, of course. I mean, Michael Purnfor sent me up.
Who'd you get yelled at by, Mark?
Oh, I think John McEnroe wasn't paying attention. I didn't give him the ball quick enough or something like that.
There's always something. I remember Michael Purnfor sent me on a Perrier run.
Michael Purnfor.
You know, like in the middle of his match.
Purnfor. Was he German?
I don't know. He was something.
he was Swedish.
Swedish.
He went to Georgia.
Yeah, that's right.
I remember I ball boyed for Slobodan Zivanovic.
I definitely remember him.
Jay Berger. I mean, I just have such fond memories.
No, but wasn't like Harold Solomon and Eddie Dibbs were our heroes. It was like, and then Connors and Vilas, and it's amazing. Yeah, I remember it was on Clay, and literally like the stands were just bleachers. And, I mean, honestly, that's my life experience too, and that's where my passion for this comes, is like we had those memories. The tournament was going to likely leave DC when we stepped in 19. Like, the organization that owned it forever couldn't make the investments that were needed, and it wasn't the easiest thing to get done, but I was like, there's no way if there's any way I can stop this from leaving, that it can leave, because there's so many people like us who this is such an important part of their lives, and I want it to be here forever. So
Mark's the chairman of the Mubadala City DC Open. You told us this last time, beyond the great tennis, and you've got 7 top 10 stars competing, it's July 19th through the 27th, you guys have great food set up, right?
Well, that's a big part of what we wanted to do when we took it over. So we took it over, it was it was, look, it's a big important tennis event, but the fan experience just really wasn't good. Literally, the people that served the park service food the rest of the year were serving the food. There was nowhere indoor or air conditioned to go if you weren't a VIP. And so we had this real vision that came a little bit from our World Team Tennis days of creating this incredible fan experience. And so, yeah, we've built these unbelievable big indoor air-conditioned food hall with a big bar and big TV screens. We have a taco tequila bar, a rosé terrace overlooking the courts. And then we have, like, the best of D.C. We have Duke's Grocery Burgers. We have Dolcezza. We have King Street Oysters. So it's, like, the best of D.C. food. Last year, I think we had 5 Michelin star chefs. This year, we have 7, so also at the high end. And so the whole idea behind that is that, you know, a tennis match, a day at a tennis match isn't just going to 1-2-hour match. If it's good food, good drinks, good places to hang out, people will come for 5, 6, 7 hours, and then they'll stay, and then they'll come back a bunch during the week. So when we took this over, less than 20% of the tickets were season tickets, you know, people who bought or tournament, full tournament, and then people just come for one day. Now it's over 70%. People are buying tickets for the whole week.
Wow.
And I think a lot of it is due to, it's obviously the quality of the play is incredible, but also the quality of the experience off the court.
I just have such fond memories, even, you know, into adulthood, just going there and just watching guys hit on the practice courts.
Mm-hmm. Like, exactly.
And then watching the women. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's just, I can't recommend it enough.
I appreciate saying that. You know, it's one of only 10 tournaments in the world that have men and women playing at the same event. It's like, it's hard to believe because people watch the Grand Slams, which are.
Right.
But there's a 4 Grand Slams, 5 other tournaments, and us. And
what do you have, like, Indian Wells? Did they still have Lipton? Like, those were ones that used to be.
Yeah, what are
Indian Wells, Miami, yeah. Cincinnati, Madrid, yeah. And Rome, and then us.
Wow. It's very cool.
That is crazy.
Very
so,
cool.
So, going to transition here. You know, you talked about how you've changed the experience for the DC Open and making it beyond just the tennis, that people are excited about the food. I think that's your vision with RFK. Can you kind of fill us in on what's happening? I know the Commanders released a statement. We talked about it. I get it. There's a government process, but you can at least talk about what you see for RFK in the community.
Yeah, look, I think the team's made an amazing case for why this makes a ton of sense. You can look at it from so many different dimensions, but, like, first of all, in D.C., there have been 3 stadiums built, and every single one has transformed the area it was in. If you guys, when I moved back to D.C. in the 90s, I lived down the street from where Cap One Arena was. Mm-hmm. That literally a block away was a red light district. Mm-hmm. You know, the East End was forgotten. No one came over. You build Cap One, that part of town's completely transformed. Then you do the baseball stadium. Mm-hmm. You go drive down there. It's actually incredible. I don't ever go down there, and it blows my mind how an old industrial area is now literally just building after building after building. And then you go to the soccer stadium, where I actually own the land under the soccer stadium. It was a junkyard and an old warehouse. And there was a coal-fired Pepco power plant there that was never going to move until the land was needed. You build a soccer stadium, it gets transformed. So, like, we have these case studies of what happens. And then you have 180 acres on that part of town where it hasn't gotten the same investment. And here's the perfect catalyst to do exactly the same thing, but actually even bigger. So that's one lens. And then the other thing I'd say is, you know, I've lived the journey here. I was on the board to bring the Olympics here. I was co-chair of the group to try to bring the 2026 World Cup to D.C. And that was so frustrating because FIFA badly wanted to have games in D.C. next year. Mm-hmm. It's very unusual for a capital city not to get games, but we didn't have a stadium. They made us bid for the World Cup with the Baltimore Stadium. And what people may forget is that the National Fan Festival for the World Cup was going to be on the National Mall. We were going to have 3 of the biggest teams staying in D.C. All that's gone. And, yeah, that's nice because you get to go to games, but the economic impact of stuff like that is so massive, you know? And then you listen at the press conference, Roger talked about that, you know, he had no promises, but certainly you're going to be considered for Super Bowls. the economic impact in New Orleans was $1.2 billion for the Super Bowl. So, like, these things are economic drivers.
Is there a hard deadline, Mark? Because, you know, it's kind of hard for us to, like, figure it all out. We hear the Mendelsohn say something. We hear you guys say something. Is there a deadline for you guys to be able to make, you know, 2030, which I guess was the goal all along?
Yeah,
for you guys,
I mean,
to
that's, and again, you know, just back to events, obviously the 2031 Women's World Cup's here, so I think everyone wants to make it happen. Look, I don't want to get into that stuff. I do legitimately believe everyone is working towards getting this done and getting it done so it can open in 2030, and that's what we're certainly hoping is going to happen.
So you're not at this point, you're not sweating it.
I honestly think that the right thing's going to happen. I think it's pretty clear, and I also think if you listen to people, people aren't saying they're against it. They just want to make sure that we run a good process. I really believe it's going to happen.
Right, which makes sense.
So the D.C. Open, back to the D.C. Open. It's July 19th through the 27th.
Mm-hmm.
You can get ticket packages. You can go to SeatGeek.com or you can go to tickets at MDETennis.com or MubadalaCityOpen.com. There's a bunch of ways to get it.
What about for the junks? How do the junks get tickets?
They just call their buddy Mark.
Yeah. And they're waiting at will call. They're at will call.
That's what I'm talking about.
We'd love to. Like, I will say, and I don't come on and like try to, you know, talk about tickets, but we are almost the last, every ticket we've sold out in the last 4.5 years, and we're down to like less than 10% of the tickets. It'll probably sell out in a week or two. And so I definitely hope people come out. I love the fact that our tennis community comes out, but also when people come who haven't seen tennis live and they see it up close. And as you said, like even just going to the practice court and seeing it that close, you really get an appreciation for it. So whether you like tennis, great food, great drinks,
all
a good time.
Dude,
in the
just
summer.
Go watch the women hit.
Yeah,
it's mind blowing. It's mind blowing.
Exactly. Watch my girl Rybakina hit. She's unbelievable.
She's coming.
Yeah.
She's
I know
coming.
She is.
I got, she's coming.
She's great.
Yeah.
All right, Mark. Always
Mark,
fun talking
thank you.
To you.
Thank you,
guys,
Mark.
Appreciate it.
All
thank
right,
you,
buddy. It's Mark Ein, Commander's minority owner and chairman of the Mubadala
We're
City
buddies with
DC
the
Open.
Big sillies. We're just buddies with big sillies.
All right, we got to get out of here. Everybody have a great weekend. For Bish, EBMJP, B. Mitch and Finley coming up next here on The Fan.